All right, it's nice to be with you again. I want to read a very well-known passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, chapter on love. Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." We could probably have said that off by heart, many of us. I want to focus on a couple of verses that we find there in 1 Corinthians 13 that in some ways have nothing to do with love. It's just that Paul uses them. And that is in verse 9. He says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears." And then in verse 12 he says, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." I want to talk about knowing in part and knowing fully. We know in part and we prophesy in part, Paul says. But one day is coming when we shall be fully known. Now, this, as I said a moment ago, is the great chapter on love. And it almost seems strange that we find these verses in there, but we understand what Paul is saying. Now, we all know that we don't know everything. I've never met anyone who has claimed to know everything. I've met a few people who've given the impression that they knew everything. But they tended to be young folks who hadn't yet learned how little to know. But when you get to our time of life, we realize that the more you learn, the more you realize that there is to know and that we don't know. So I've never met anyone who has claim to know everything. Now, when we reach a stage in life where we have learned a lot of new things, there is a temptation to think that, well, we don't know everything, but we know most things. Or we know enough. Or we know, you know, because, you know, ever since we were born, we've been learning, gaining knowledge. It's a bit like, I remember the story of the kid who went to school for the first day and was all, you know, excited about going to school and, you know, what you go to school and you learn things at school. And he had a great time at school, and then his mum comes to get him up for school the next day and he says, "Do I have to go back?" He says, I've learned. I don't need to go back. Surely I've learned enough in one day. And the more we learn in life, the more we realize that there is so much more that we still need to know. We know in part. So we're not going to complain or disagree with Paul when he says we know in part. One cynic has given the definition of an expert as someone who learns more and more about less and less until he knows everything about nothing. It's pretty. More and more about less and less until he knows everything about nothing. So really none of us would argue with Paul. Now, but how does that affect our lives today? Well, first of all, it should make us very cautious about coming to quick judgments about others. It should make us very cautious. Now, there are an infinite number of fields of knowledge, but it is in the area of human relations that we are most likely to make mistakes. But if we constantly remind ourselves that in every situation, we never know the whole story. We know in part. We know what we've heard. And maybe we don't even know what we've heard is true or not. So in every situation, we are looking at part knowledge. We know in part. Only God knows the full story at this stage, and that is why he can and will always make true judgments. We can easily jump to wrong judgments about a person or a situation when we only know part of the fact. So now we all know this, but it's good to remind ourselves, because I think it's part of human nature. We have a tendency to jump to conclusions without knowing all the facts. So it's good to remind ourselves that we only know in part. And often we think we know more than we actually do. So recognizing that we only know in part should make us cautious about coming to quick judgments. And that's very important, because in life we are always having to make judgment. You know, one of the verses in the Bible that has often been misquoted is that when Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." And, you know, I've quoted that verse and we understand what it means. Now, Jesus wasn't saying you never have to make a judgment. He was just saying be careful when you have to make judgments, how you make those judgments. Because every day almost, certainly as we go through life, we're constantly having to make judgments. We meet people who want things from us or want us to do things, and we have to make a judgment. Is this the right thing to do or is it not the right thing to do? And it's how we make those judgments that is the important thing. So we need to, it makes us cautious about coming to quick conclusions, because knowing, well, I don't know the whole story. I know part, but I only know in part. It's interesting as we read through the book of Acts, how we notice that sometimes the early church seemed to have got things wrong because they made judgments based on a partial knowledge. There are two stories particularly that I would like to highlight. And one is they're both well-known stories. But do you remember the conversion of Saul of Tarsus? Saul had persecuted the church. He went from Jerusalem, he was going to Damascus to try and continue his persecution of the church, until Jesus met him in that dramatic way outside Damascus, and he was wonderfully, wonderfully converted. Had an encounter with God on the Damascus Road, and immediately God sent Ananias to pray for him that he might be filled with the Spirit and receive his sight. And he joined the disciples in Damascus and began preaching the gospel. But when he came back to Jerusalem, the church there, the leaders of the church, they were very cautious. Because, is this real or not? Is his conversion real? Has he, this man who was persecuting the church, or is it just another trick of his to get into the church? And so they were very cautious about accepting him, because they only knew in part. They knew what he said, they knew what had been said, what others had said about him. They knew those things, but they didn't know whether it was all true or not. And so they sent him off to Tarsus for a few years out of the way to prove himself. In many ways, that was a very wise thing to do. But they couldn't make a different judgment, or perhaps a more accurate judgment, because they only knew in part. And then the other story comes in Acts chapter 8, I think it is, the chapter before that, and it's the story of the fellow that we know as Simon the Sorcerer in Samaria. Philip had gone down to Samaria, he began to preach the gospel, and it was a revival broke out. Dozens of people were becoming Christians, including this man Simon the Sorcerer, now, who had practiced magic in the city, you know, under the dark arts for many years, and people looked up to him. They thought he was a very important man. And he too made a commitment to Christ and wanted to join the church. Now, the disciples in Damascus, or not Damascus, in Samaria, they seemed quite happy to accept Simon into the church as one of the new members. But when Peter and John came down from Jerusalem and began praying for folks to be filled with the Spirit, Simon offered them money so that he might have this power also. And Peter had to turn to him and said, your heart's not right before God. You are offering money. This thing cannot be bought with money. He said, you need to repent. So the disciples in Samaria accepted Simon the Sorcerer for what he appeared to be, but he hadn't actually got there yet. And that was because they didn't know the whole story. They couldn't know the whole story because they didn't know what was going on in the man's heart. And so they came to a wrong conclusion, in my opinion, because they only knew in part. Now, if the saints in the early church can get things wrong because they only knew in part, it would be very arrogant for us to think that we always get it right, wouldn't it? Because we work on the same basis. We only know in part, and I'll develop that a little later. The second point that I want to make is this: we know in part, but we are also only known in part. I just want to apply this truth in a more personal way. He says, for we know in part, and then he says in verse 12, now we see as a poor reflection, then we see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You see, we only know each other in part, and we need to remember that as well. Now, most of us here today would probably say that we know one another pretty well. Certainly, a lot of us have known each other for a lot of years, so we should know each other pretty well. But that is true. But even so, we only know in part. Let me explain that I know most, I know all of you here, and I would trust my life with you because I know you, and I would expect that you would do the same with me. But you only know me in part. Some of us have been worked together in the kingdom for over 40 years. So inevitably we've got to know each other pretty well. But even then, we only know each other in part. You see, I was 27 when I came to Newcastle. Now, most of you know nothing about my life before then except what I've told you. Yeah. And you don't even know whether that was true or not. I could have spun all sorts of webs of infamy and fame and all the rest of it, but you only know what I've told you. And in the same way, it's true for all of us in different ways. We kind of know each other in bits. Now, since I've lived in Newcastle and known most of you for 40, nearly 50 years, then of course we've got to know each other well. But you know, now those years in my life, on the first 27 years, were they shaped the person that I am. That was the things that happened, the dealings with God, the way that God helped and led me. Those are the things that made me the person that I am today, but you had no understanding, no knowledge of that, simply because it was before you'd met. And it's the same for all of us. We have background, we have hidden we have things, the journeys we've been on. Sometimes there are things in life that are too precious almost to share. When I look back in my life, sometimes I think of some of the dealings of God, and I don't really want to talk about them. They were so kind of personal. So kind of, you know, they were precious to me and very, very important in my life. But I think that I would be kind of diminishing it by talking about it. Mm-hmm. And the same is true, we know each other in part. I sometimes find it rather sad when I'm doing a funeral of somebody who's quite old and all their peers have gone. So the people that they grew up with, that they were young with, that were in the prime of life with, they've all gone. So the people that are there, only generally, most of them will only know them as an elderly person that they've got to know late in life. But they've never known the real person. They haven't known that person in the prime of life, in what they were able to do, and what they were able to say, and the things that they had achieved, and the influence that they had. They know nothing about that. Because we know in part. We know each other in part. We know each other in bits. Going back to my own life, you see, the folks that I grew up with in Ireland, now they knew me in those years, but they know nothing, really, of my life now, apart from bits, apart from things. You know, they know I don't hide anything, but they haven't been part. So they know that section of my life, they don't know this section, and the same is true for all of us. Yeah. We know in part, and we are only known in part. But a day is coming when we will be fully known. Another aspect of the bits about knowing in part, I'm talking about, you know, when we are just open and honest with each other, not trying to hide things, but then in all of us there are probably things that we cover up or we hide or we don't, you know, we can have secrets within our heart that we don't want anybody to know about. And if they are wrong secrets, or very often they suddenly come out and you wonder, what why did that person do that? And then as you get to know the situation a little better, you realize that there are things going on underneath the surface that were not obvious. At the surface, it was a bit like, you know, an apple that was rotten at the heart. Mm-hmm. It looked all right on the outside, but then it was only sometime later that what was really lacked. Was a bit like Simon when Peter said to him, your money perish with you. He said, your heart's not right before God. Because we can't see each other's heart. And very often what's in the heart, as we know people, generally speaking, what's in our heart will eventually come out to those that we're close with. We get to know each other well. But we can also be very good at hiding things. If we don't talk about what's in there, then nobody else will know. Mm-hmm. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But then shall we know, even as also I am fully known. Now, I just like that. Now, I don't know whether this is good news for you good folks here, but if you think that you know me now, one day you'll really know me. Now, whether that will be a blessing or a curse, I don't know, but now you know in part, but one day we shall be fully known, not in this world, but when you stand before the Lord, it seems as if we will know each other as God knows us. We will be able to see the sort of full picture. It's a bit like taking a photograph of somebody, you know, you can take a photograph of their head. Yeah, that's all right, at least. But to get the full picture, if you take a photograph of the whole person, it gives you a picture of the whole person. And then we shall know as we are fully known. Now, I don't believe, I'm sure this is true, I don't believe that God is going to expose all my hidden secrets and certainly my hidden sins, because my sins are under the blood of Jesus. So even in heaven, God isn't going to expose all the negative things, but I think he will show us we will see the full picture. You know, what made that person tick the way they did? What made them the person that they were? They will have little glimpseth. A couple of years ago I had one of our Sunday morning services in Berkeley. We had a lovely time of worship, and just like we had today, and there was a sort of quiet peace, and I just felt as if, for a moment, I felt as if I was standing before the Lord and he was reviewing my life. And it was very humbling, because it seems as if the Lord was going through the highlights of my life. You know, the things that were important. And you know, the amazing thing was, I didn't recognize any of them. Well, I did recognize, but he showed me a picture. I saw myself, I was about mid-teens, I suppose, and I was sweeping the floor in the little church that we went to. Now, it seems as if Jesus was saying, that was an important thing in your life. I'd forgotten all about it. Years and years and years ago, no reason why I should remember. And he reminded me of a number of what I would term as little things. But he seemed to think they were big things. He seemed to think they were important things. Just the ordinary things that you would do because somebody needed to do them. But Jesus seemed to be saying, those were the important things in your life, because those are the things that made you. And I think that when we stand before the Lord and when we're known in heaven, God isn't going to expose all our secrets and all the bad things, because they're covered by the blood of Jesus, but he'll uncover our hearts in a way. He'll uncover the things that made us what we are. And those kind of things, and that we will know ourselves better, and we'll know one another better. Then shall we know, even as we are fully known. Fully known. And I'm only fully known to the Lord at the minute. Doris doesn't fully know me. She knows me probably better than anybody else, and like we all know each other here, but only God knows me fully. Yeah. And only he understands me fully. But one day, I'm going to know as I'm fully known. I'm going to know fully. I'll know you, Betty, fully. I will. But not tell anybody. You see, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Just let's always remember that, especially when we have to make judgments about situations or individuals or people. Lord, I don't know all about this. I don't know. Help me to know the truth of this situation. Help me to understand the bits that I don't know. Help me to know, just to be careful how I judge this situation, because I don't know what that person's been through or what's brought them to this place at this point in time. I don't know that. I don't know what God is doing in them and through them at this point in time. I only know in part. But one day I shall be fully known. I shall know as even as I also am fully known. And that will be wonderful. Amen. The Lord bless his word.
O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord does know us. And he loves us despite what we might think about ourselves. He knows us and he loves us. We cannot surprise God. But the wonderful thing is that he wants to touch our hearts, and he wants to repair them and make us new. And if we're willing, he will do that. So none of us need feel that we've got skeletons in the cupboard or things that we're dealing with, because we can bring them to the Lord, and he wants us to do that. So I'll just close in prayer, and then you're...